It's fun day, or actually today is Sunday because this morning it was raining and now it's so beautiful and sunny. So even those who say fun day could also say Sunday because it got sunny. In the morning when it was raining, it was still fun day. It's so much fun to come back to yeshiva. And now when the sun is shining, fun day turned into Sunday. Well, it did not lose the name Fun Day because now we're going to start a very interesting brand new story. As soon as you're quiet. Okay, here's the new story. A long time ago, there was a big tzaddik named Reb Naftali. But the story starts even longer ago, before he was a big tzaddik named Reb Naftali. He was a little boy named Naftali. When Reb Naftali was a little boy. Now, Rabbi Burstein, why didn't you just start when he was a little boy? Why did you even mention he grew up to be a tzaddik later? Well, you'll see. Little Naftali was playing with his friends one day, a long time ago. Well, playing with your friends is a wonderful thing to do if you play nicely and you do good things. Unfortunately, little Naftali and his friends were doing a big no-no. In fact, it was a bigger no-no than he thought was a no-no at the time that he was doing it. Probably at the time he was doing it, he realized it was a no-no, but he did it anyway. But boy, did this turn out to be a big no-no. Okay, Kinalach, is it a way to play for a little Yiddish boy to throw rocks? How many boys think throwing rocks is not the way to play? That's right, you should not go and throw rocks. Now, if you're in the country, in the middle of nowhere, and nobody's around, and you want to throw a rock, I'm not going to say you should never throw a rock. Or if you're standing by a lake and there is absolutely nobody in front of you and you want to see the rock go into the lake, well, okay, maybe there are some times that you could throw a rock. Maybe. Shh. But little Naftali and his friends were not in front of a lake and they were not in the middle of the forest. They were by a road. Do you think that it is a smart thing to throw rocks near a road? People go on a road. Well, they thought, oh, there's nobody really too close. Let's see if we could throw a rock all the way across the road. Stop. There's a person. Stop. No. Don't want to hit anybody. Okay, let's wait till he goes. And they throw a rock. Could you hit the tree on the other side of the road? You missed. Can you try? Okay, another one try. No, stop. Somebody's coming. Well, I guess they try to be careful, but, little kids throwing rocks near a road, sometimes they're not so careful. All of a sudden, little Naftali says, "It's my turn to see if I could hit the tree on the other side of the road." And he picks up a rock. And before his friends could warn him not to throw it, because I guess they were just, laughing and having fun, he threw that rock. And it started to fly across the road, but unfortunately, in between the rock and the tree, there came a wagon with horses. And the rock did not make it all the way to the tree. Can you figure out where the rock hit?
No.
Okay, anybody want to try?
On the wagon.
It hit the wagon. Not only it hit the wagon, it broke the window of the wagon. Well, this is not too good. And then they noticed it wasn't just a regular wagon. It was a beautiful, very fancy, schmancy wagon. And it was going pretty fast. That's why they didn't see it right away, being pulled by very strong, beautiful horses. And around the wagon were riding different kinds of very important looking officers, and a very angry face was looking at them from inside of the wagon by the broken window. And all of a sudden, they realized that this was no ordinary wagon. This was the wagon of the prince. You know what the prince is? It's not the king exactly. What is the prince?
The king's son.
The king's son. The prince has his own wagon with his own officers, with his own driver. And little Naphtali has just thrown a rock and broken the window of the prince's wagon. This is not too good. Well, not only is it not too good, it gets worse. They saw who did it, and Naphtali is just standing there. Oh boy, he's getting scared. He doesn't like that mean face looking at him from inside of the wagon. And all the officers now jump off of their horses. And they now run and they catch little Naphtali. And they start screaming, "Yo, little boy, you know what you did? You threw a rock on the wagon of the prince and broke the window." "Oh, but it was an accident. I didn't mean to do it. I'm sorry. My tati will pay for the window. I'm sorry. "What do you mean? What do you mean pay? Pay just money? Money itself will buy a new window for the wagon. But you threw a rock on the wagon of the prince. This is a big, big, terrible thing against the prince. And you will have to now go to trial, and you will have to not only pay money for this, you will have to pay with a big punishment." "But it was an accident, but it was an accident." "Accident? Accident? Throwing a rock on the prince's wagon?" Now, Kenalach, according to the Torah, if there was an accident, if it was by accident, is that the same as doing it on purpose? No, the Torah looks to see if you did it by accident, if it was a mistake. The Torah is very fair. Even if a person did something wrong, the Torah is very fair. Are these people, are these officers being fair with Naphtali? Or they're not exactly listening? All they're doing is say, "You broke the window of the prince's wagon, you're in trouble." Are they listening to what happened? You know, it was an accident. Are they listening to him? Are they going to be fair with him, you think? Is this fair? You know, it's very interesting. I'll tell you a little thing, by the way. We just learned in Parshas Lech Lecha. Who heard of the five kings? Who heard of the four kings? Who heard of the four kings and the five kings? Well, the five kings lived in Stoim. You ever heard of Stoim? You ever heard of Amoira? Okay. These five kings were big Rishoyim. Bera, Birsha. These are big Rishoyim, as you're going to learn. And the last city of the five cities, it says, the king of Bela, and that was also called Soyar. The place was called Bela and Soyar. Does it say his name? No. It tells you the name of the four kings, the first of the four of the five. I'm talking about the five kings. It tells you the name of four of them, but the fifth one, it does not tell you his name. Why doesn't it tell you his name?
Because he wasn't a bigger Rasha than them.
Okay. He was a Rasha, but he was not as big a Rasha as the other of the five kings. Because the other cities were 52 years old. And his city was only 51 years old. So the other cities were doing Aveiras for 52 years. His city was only doing Aveiras for 51 years. So Hashem says, because he wasn't exactly as bad as the other ones, he didn't want to put his name with the other ones, because the other ones were worse. So what do you see? Even though they were all Rishayim, Hashem says, but these were bigger Rishayim, and this one was a little bit less, so I don't want to make him like the other ones. The Torah is even fair with these kinds of Rishayim. Hashem was even so fair to think of the honor of this Rosh's name. That's how fair the Torah is. And here, this is a complete accident. Of course he shouldn't have done it. But he's a little boy. And he wasn't careful. And now the officers are going to arrest him and take him, Chas V'Shalem, to a trial and punish him, a little kid. I'm not saying it was right that he did it. It was wrong. But even in wrong, you have to figure out how wrong was it. And now, tomorrow, you're going to see what is going to happen to little Naphtali. It's a long story. We just started it today. This is a pretty long story. I hope we can finish it in 1 week. If you're quiet, tomorrow, right away, we can go on and hear a lot more. Okay. Now, little Naphtali is being taken now to the judge, to the big trial. Do you think this is going to be a fair trial, that he threw a rock on the prince's wagon? Do you think the judges are going to be fair? Well, let's go and see. Naphtali had to go to the judge, the big trial, and the courtroom was filled with people. And the one who accuses him says, this little Jewish boy threw a rock on the prince's wagon. And all the people say, boo, punish him. He threw a rock on the prince's wagon. And they say to Naphtali, what do you have to say for yourself? He says, it was an accident. I didn't mean to do it. And the judge takes his big hammer and he bangs it on the table and he says, you shouldn't have thrown a rock on the wagon of the prince. You have to be punished. And this is the punishment, because you threw a rock on the prince's wagon. You have to go to the city of the palace of the king. And in front of the city of the palace of the king, you must be executed. Do you know what executed means? Not such a nice thing. What means executed?
You mean chop off your head.
Chopped off his head. Or hanged, or something like that. Oh boy, this is what the judge said is the punishment of little Naphtali for throwing a rock by accident on the prince's wagon. And the judge says, that's it. And everybody says, yay, that you're going to punish the little boy. And they take him now to the black wagon, like a jail, like a little jail on wheels. And they're now taking him to the city of the palace to Chas V'Shalem be executed. And there's a guard now who's riding the horse. It's only one horse and one guard for this little boy. And he's in the black wagon with bars all around it. And he is leaving the trial, going now to the capital city where the king's palace is. And it's far away, and it's going to take a few days to get there. Well, they travel one day on the roads, and at night, they find a place to stay, a hotel by the side of the road. The guard puts Naphtali in handcuffs. Do you know what are handcuffs? Yep, everybody knows what's handcuffs. Cuffs on your hands. Those things police use to lock up a bad guy. They like put his hands in back of him. They put these metal things, they lock him up. And Naphtali has to sleep in the handcuffs. And the guard sleeps, and then they go the next day, and they travel another day and another day. All of a sudden, On one, during one of the days of the traveling, the weather started getting very bad. The wind started to blow. Rain clouds and storm clouds started to fill the sky. And all of a sudden, thunder and lightning and rain, big rainstorms. It started raining, it started storming, and the roads were full of water. What do you have when you have dirt roads full of water? What do you have? What does that make?
Mud.
That makes mud. Well, the wagon is going in the mud. It's getting stuck. It's hard to go. The horsey is having problems schlepping and pulling that wagon. The driver is getting all wet. Well, it's getting late. They're trying to go through the rain. And all of a sudden, the driver says, "Oh, there is a hotel by the side of the road, or a motel, you call it. Let's stop here." And he stops now in this little kretschme, this little hotel by the side of the road. And as they go in, Naftali sees, oh, look, it's owned by a Yid. It's owned by a Jew. This is a Yiddish place. Oh, that's wonderful. And the guard now is bringing in little Naftali. Now, Naftali was dressed in these prisoner clothes. They looked like potato bags, even over his head. And he had his handcuffs on. And from the outside, you couldn't really tell who was inside of those potato bags. And Naftali wasn't just a little kid, you know, he was under bar mitzvah, but he wasn't like 6 or 7 years old. Looks like he was about maybe 11 or 12, something like that. So he wasn't just a little boy, he was a pretty big boy. It looked like, you know, a prisoner, a regular prisoner. That's what it looked like, with handcuffs on. And the guard pushes Naftali into a chair. He says, "You sit here, and I will go get the rooms, so we could sleep overnight in this hotel." Or he probably said like this, "You stay here in the chair. I go get the room. Or rooms, one for me, one for you. I don't want to sleep in the same room like you. You're a prisoner. I'm guard. And then maybe I give you something to eat. Maybe not. I eat good. Ha. Here is good food. I smell good food. Yes. Maybe I give you something. Maybe some bones left over from what I eat. Because you're a prisoner. I'm guard." And he just pushed him into the chair in his handcuffs. And he goes now to get rooms. And then after he got keys to the rooms, he starts to eat. There's this food over there. And Naftali is just hungry in the chair. And this guard is eating a big meal. And Kenalach, it so happens that while the guard is eating his big meal, and other people were eating there also in this hotel, and little Naftali, not so little but not so big, was sitting in the chair, all of a sudden, another Yid with a beard, not the hotel owner, another Yid came with two boys, also about Naftali's age. And they sat by a table right next to Naftali. And the Yid with the beard said, "Okay, boys, let's take out the Mishnayos. Let's take out the Gemaras. And we're going to start to learn." Now, Naftali figured out that this must be the Malamed of the boys, the sons of the hotel man. Because in those days, many times, in faraway places like the hotel, they would hire a teacher to come and stay in the hotel to teach the boys of the family of the hotel man. And this is exactly what was happening. And the two boys started learning Mishneh, and they started learning Gemara with their Rebbe. Shh. And all of a sudden, the Rebbe asked a question to one of them. Now, it so happens that Naftali, not only he knew this Gemara, he knew it Baal Peh. And he knew very, very well, because he was a very smart Talmud Chacham, as I told you. He knew this Gemara Baal Peh. He knew it by heart. Shh.
And all of a sudden, the teacher, the Malamed, asked one of the students a question. Now, for Naftali, this was easy. He knew the answer to this question. But the first boy said, I don't know the answer. And the other boy says, I don't know the answer. All of a sudden now, from inside of the potato bags, they hear the answer to the question that the teacher asked, that the Rebbe asked. All of a sudden, the Rebbe hears the answer in this Gemara from the potato bag prisoner. What? I heard the answer to the Gemara. How could it be? From a prisoner with handcuffs and potato bags? A prisoner going to jail with a guard? No way. I'm dreaming. And they started learning on. And all of a sudden, the Rebbe says, okay, boys, I'm going to ask you a really hard question. Let's see if you get it. And he asks a hard question. The first boy says, I don't know the answer, Rebbe. The other one says, I don't know the answer, Rebbe. All of a sudden, from inside the potato bags, comes the answer with the Rashi, with the Tosfos, Mefarshim, all kinds of chachma over there. Hey, wait a minute. How could this be? The prisoner is saying questions in Gemara with Rashi, with Tosfos? How could it be? And the Malamed gets up and he goes over to the prisoner potato bags and he looks inside because it was almost like a hood. You could hardly see his face. He sees a little, look, a Yiddish boy with a yarmulke on his head. Hey, what are you doing inside of these potato bags? And he says, I'm going, unfortunately, to the city of the king. I just had a trial, and they say they're going to punish me. They're going to, I don't even want to say the words. The Malamed says, what do you mean? What for? By accident, I was playing a little bit wild, throwing rocks, and one of the rocks went on the prince's wagon, and they sentenced me to get, executed. And that guard is taking me in the black wagon. The Malamed says, oh no. Okay, we're going to do something to help you. Don't worry. And he goes over now to the hotel man. And he whispers in his ear, shh, the guard shouldn't hear. And the guard is, of course, eating his nice, delicious big meal over there. And he says, there's a Yiddish boy who has been sentenced for the worst punishment. And he is a big Talmud Chacham, and he's right over there under the potato bags in the handcuffs, and that's the prisoner who's going with that guard. It's a Yiddish boy, a Talmud Chacham. We have to save him. And the hotel man and the Malamed are talking over. Yes, how can we save this boy? We can't just take him away from the guard or something. The guard has to take him to the city of the king. What can we do? The outside was raining and storming, and the wind was blowing. And the Malamed and the hotel man, all of a sudden, they got a very good, smart idea, a plan to save the boy and to take him, not chas v'shalom, to go to the city of the king. Now, tomorrow, boys, when you're nice and quiet, just like now, it's so beautiful and nice, you will hear the very interesting, smart plan of the hotel man and the Malamed that they figured out to help and save Naftali. So, Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow, be quiet right away, and we'll start the story immediately, and we'll hear more of the very interesting, exciting story. Okay. Eat your delicious cholent and pickles and make a ha'eitz on the apple. Shh. And zai still. What could be better? Cholent on Wednesday. Okay. Shh. Naftali was sitting at the hotel next to the students and the Rebbe. And they discovered that he was a Talmud Chacham, a Yid, under the potato bags, was not a regular prisoner. It was a Yiddish boy. Shh. And they just found out the Yiddish boy, Naftali, is being taken to the city of the king to be, unfortunately, Chas v'Shalem, Rachmana Litzlan, Hashem Yishmarenu, executed. And now, of course, the hotel man and the Malamed, they want to save the life of the boy. They want to get him away from the guard. They don't want him to go in the black wagon to the capital city, the city of the king. They have to do something to save the boy. What mitzvah do they have right now to get this boy away from being captured and taken away? What is this called?
Pidyon Shvuim.
Pidyon Shvuim. Very good. This is the mitzvah they have. And all of a sudden, the hotel man got a very good idea. And he says, Ashgacha Pratis, the weather is so terrible. This will be used out to our favor with Hashem's help. And he goes very nicely and friendly over to the guard, who's eating his delicious meal. And he says to the guard, oh, I see you're a guard, an officer of the king. Is that right?
Yes, yes.
Oh, that's good. It's an honor to have such a guard, an officer of the king of my hotel.
Oh, thank you very much.
What's your name?
My name is Igor the guard, yes.
I was going to pay you for this supper. How much? Oh, no, no, no. For you to pay me for the supper? No, it's on the house. It's for free. I'm happy to give it to an officer of the king.
Oh, you mean Igor doesn't have to pay for the supper?
No, no. What would you like for dessert? It's also going to be for free.
Oh, that's very nice of you.
And he orders a big, gigantic piece of pie and cake and candies and whatever he has over there. And he eats and he drinks. And then the hotel man goes over to Igor the guard. And he says, Igor, the weather is terrible. Raining, storming, windy. The roads are wet and muddy. I have a good idea. Very, very seldomly, only once in a while, do I get to have such a special guest like you, an officer of the king of my hotel. I tell you what, it would be my greatest pleasure if you would stay here for a few days until the weather gets better. I'll give you the nicest room, the best food, and of course you don't have to pay because it's my honor to have an officer of the king here. Now, of course, Igor is just a guard. He drives a wagon. He's not really a big officer. But do you think that the hotel man really means all of this? Or he's making a good plan?
He's making a good plan.
He's making a good plan to save Naftali. And Igor says, well, you see, I must take this prisoner of mine to the capital city. He is going to be executed. And it's my job to deliver him to the hands of the officers and police in that city. And the hotel man says, yeah, but is there a certain time you have to get there, or you just have to get there?
Well, I have to get there as soon as possible.
Yeah, but if it's not possible because of the weather, you can't exactly get there so fast, right?
Well, that's right.
Well, what would you rather do? Get stuck in the mud, have to fix broken wheels of your wagon and schlep it out of the mud and spend a few days on the road, or in a nice, comfortable hotel with a warm bed and delicious food for free? And of course, drinks. If you want, you like mashke, Igor?
Oh, I like mashke.
Like vodka?
Yes, vodka.
Everything for free, Igor. All you have to do is stay here until the weather gets better. Unless, of course, you want to go on the road, in the mud, get stuck in water and holes and mud, and have the wheels break, and get your wagon off the road. Sometimes it falls off the road, smashes into a tree, and you're going to be busy for a few days fixing your wagon and taking care of your horse in the mud. Is that better, Igor?
No, I would rather stay in the hotel. For free, of course.
And now the hotel man takes Igor to his nicest room. And Naftali is given a place to sleep. And Igor wakes up and he has a delicious, nice breakfast. And Igor is just relaxing and having a nice time at the hotel. And then he gets the best lunch. And it's still raining and storming and windy outside. Hashgacha Pratis, the weather is so bad. Sometimes the weather being bad is very good in other ways.